about suing for false advertising, some new formula that's going to enrich your life and make things more gooder for you. Seven ways to eat all you want and still lose weight. Secret revelation, some new formula that's going to enrich your life and make things more gooder for you. Seven ways to eat all you want and still lose weight. Eight tips on how to have a better sex life. I bought two copies of that. Well, I thought if I read it twice, you know. Nine steps to learn a new language in 7 days. 12 steps to sobriety. 20 minutes three times a week to a leaner, meaner you. Those little periodicals, those little magazines, those little newspapers, they've always got some little helpful thing in there. And people read that junk. You ever catch yourself when you're at the dentist? And of course, I understand that you're trying to get really absorbed into something when you're in the dentist's office so you won't be afraid of what's coming. But people sit around and they read all that nonsense. And of course, when you read them, you find out there ain't nothing new in there. And generally speaking, there ain't nothing that works in there. But everybody keeps hoping against hope that one of these days they'll read one of them little things and it'll be the secret that unlocks the joy of their life. I keep reading them. I think it's Christian entertainment. I don't have any confidence in them. But it is amazing what we will read if we think there's something in it for us. And that's why they do that. They put those little one-liners, they put those cute little captions in there to snare your imagination, to capture you, so you'll read their little thing. And of course, it's always going to cost you something. You got to buy a little book, or you got to buy a kit, or you got to buy a pill. They got one on TV now where it's some kind of meal thing to help you lose weight. They got some football guy saying, "I lost 32 pounds. He needs to lose by another 30." But and they made it so simple. It's just open the box, eat the food, lose the weight. Sure, buddy. They show that guy on the treadmill. He lost 89 pounds working 20 minutes a day, three times a week. And he didn't have to change his diet. You want to know his secret? Then you got to read, you know. Well, I got to thinking about that because I was in the doctor's office here a couple weeks ago and had this little cancer taken off the side of my nose. And so I was sitting there, I was reading some of those magazines. That's where I got the idea for this. I thought, you know, if you just make it sound exciting, if you make it sound interesting, if you make it sound alluring, if you make it sound prohibited, people read it. And so this morning I've got a message entitled, Seven Simple Secrets to a Blessed Life. This is my contribution to the Egg Campaign. Seven simple secrets. Don't you want to know what they are? Have I captured your imagination? Are you stirred? Are you excited? Are you looking forward to it? Are you becoming more inquisitive by the moment? Don't you want to know what these seven simple secrets are to a blessed life? Well, for just $39.95. We'll sell you this tape. I have here seven simple secrets to a blessed life. And I'm going to give them to you and then I'm going to talk to you. Number one, the secret to success in life. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then... See, you got to read it to get it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So what's the secret to success in life? Reading and heeding that book. The first step, the first secret in a blessed life is to read that book and then heed that book. Those who read it and apply it are guaranteed by its author to have a prosperous life. To get a better life than you would have had if you had not read it and not followed it. Amen? Now that's all these things I just mentioned, all these success things, all these keys to whatever it is. Every one of them you have to read it and do it. And millions upon millions of Americans every week read them and try it, at least for a little while. Well, I want to give you these seven secrets, and the first one is so simple. You just got to read that book that God gave you and heed it, apply it to your life. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. So the first secret to a blessed life is to be a Bible reader and a Bible doer. Amen? Nothing particularly hard. It's not rocket science. Young people can do it. Old people can do it. Fat, lazy people can do it. Skinny, stupid people can do it. Anybody can do it. If and you can read, you can get in on this blessing. It's not restricted to any class or gender or culture. Amen? How about this one? The secret to a longer life. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You want to live a long time? You want to be like Jack LaLanne and swing the English Channel pulling 100 boats behind you when you're 97? You want to live to be old and healthy at the same time? Now, I don't know, nobody wants to live to be old and be sick. I hear people all the time say, well, I just gonna go ahead and pass away if that's the way I'm going to be. If I'm going to be a burden, if I can't be self-sufficient, if I can't, and they've got a whole litany of things, and if they can't have those, then they'd just as soon go ahead and die. So, when we talk about wanting to live, we always want to live abundantly. We want to live with blessing. We want to live with agility. We want to live with mobility. We want to live with our mind. Amen. Do my glasses work fine? My teeth, my dentures fit? My hearing aid works? But oh, how I miss my mind. You want to live to be old? Then it said, honor thy father and thy mother. The New Testament said, for this is the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and your mother. Now, you know, if you was an Oriental, you wouldn't have any problem with that. They teach them from the minute they're born to honor mom and dad. Amen? Matter of fact, they get so carried away with it, they go over the top, they end up worshiping ancestors. I think that's a little too much, but at the same time, in America, we don't honor mom and dad at all. The government wants to take parental rights away, and children love to have it so, and everybody thinks mom and dad are too strict, too old-fashioned, too big a stick in the mud, too over the top, too rigid, too intolerant, too stupid. And so every young person thinks they're smart enough and wise enough to live their own lives and they don't need the influence or the input from mom and dad. You're just too dumb for words, kid. Amen? Why do you think God put mom and dad in charge instead of you? Because they got somewhere between 18 and 35 years of experience you don't have. Amen. So, well, we honor mom and dad. We have National Mom and Dad Day or something. That's not what honoring mom and dad is all about. Do you ever think about what does it mean when the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee? What does it mean to honor them? It means don't dishonor them. If you honor your father and mother, you live a life that brings honor. It's not a day. It's not an occasion. It's not a party. Even though I don't have any objection to having a national day to honor mom and dad. The honoring mom and dad is you live your life like you were raised, so that you don't bring shame and reproach. People don't say, man, what kind of mom and dad did he have? Look what kind of kid they turned out. What kind of sin did they have in their life? Honoring your father and your mother is the quality and the character of the life you live, so that people can't find fault and bring reproach on them. Now, I wish it were as simple as finding a single day in a year or an occasion in a lifetime to give honor. And I don't think there'd be a thing wrong. Mom and dad turn 80 and they've been good mom and dad, and the kids have them a special day to honor them for the kind of, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But that's not the issue. The issue is, how have you lived your life? Mom and dad were honest, hard-working, God-fearing, tax-paying folk. Amen. And then you get out here and you're a renegade, you're a troublemaker, you're a harlot, you're a dopehead, you're a loser, you've got a bad reputation, you've been in jail. All those things that bring shame and reproach. You dishonor mom and dad. It takes away from the amount of time you've got on this planet. Amen. So, well, I don't believe that. Well, then argue with God. God said if you would honor your mom and dad, that your days would be lengthened. I don't know about you, but I'd like to live to be 90 and be in complete control of all my faculties. At least as in control as I've always been. Number three. The secret to having the needs of life supplied. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first. Notice this order. This priority. This sequence. See, God is a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. And God's always got a way things have to be done. A sequence in which they have to occur. But seek ye first. It's not seek ye first money and riches and houses and fame. It's seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then, we want to say, well, you know, if God will give me a house and a car and money and a good-looking wife and five smart kids and blah, 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 then I'll be a... No. You be a good Christian first. You fear God first. You serve God first. You live right first. Then God blesses you with those other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if you look in the context in Matthew chapter 6, it's talking about the things that the Gentiles seek after, food and raiment and housing and all, worldly, daily needs and possessions. The things that make life livable. And God said, don't put those first, put God first, and then He will add these other things to you. Amen. If you want those things, and you want those things permanently, not just occasionally or sporadically, the thing to do is honor God with your life. Seek Him first and His righteousness, then He will bless you with all those things. So the third step, the third secret to a blessed life is to put God first in your life. Now that disqualifies countless millions of people. Because God is in reality last in their life. We go to church, we serve God, we pray, we give our tithes, or we do whatever, if there is nothing else gets in our way. Our vacations come first, our fun comes first, our family comes first, recreation comes first, making a living comes first. Almost anything and everything you can think of comes ahead of God. God is not the number one priority. Then we have a lot of nerve to ask God to bless us and give us this day our daily bread. And if we thought about it, we'd say, why should He? What do I do for God? Where is God at in my life? The Bible said in the Old Testament, and God is not in all their faults. That means they go all day long, they think about everything under the sun. The one thing they don't think about is God. If we're not consumed with the things of today, then we're consumed with the things of tomorrow. Matthew 6:34 said, take no thought for tomorrow. Amen. Do we live by that commandment? That's what it is, it's a commandment. Do we live by that? No. We are always plotting and scheming and planning for tomorrow. And by the way, there is a sense in which that's a right thing to do. I mean, we're to occupy till He comes, so you have to take some thought. But it can't be the preeminent thing. It can't be the most important thing. It can't take God's place. God is to be first. Today, tomorrow, the day after that, the things of God, your church attendance, your tithing, your prayer life, your reading of the Bible, ought to be as fixed in your 24-hour schedule as getting up and going to work, making a living, cleaning a house, or anything else. They're not the serving God is not an add-on. It's not an optional thing. It's not, I'll serve God or I'll go to church or I'll tithe if I have the money left over, if I have the time, if nothing else gets in the way. It's, I'm going to do this and everything else takes second place to it. Now what do you get for that? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. All the things you're fretting and worrying about, God has promised to supply if you get things in the proper order. God first. Amen. Secret number four. Aren't these some startling new revelations? He said, well, preacher, we've heard all that before. Yes, but all them things you read in them magazines, you read before too. But you keep reading them hoping somebody will reword it and this time it'll work. The secret to abundance in life. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring you all the tithes. I love preaching on money. Now y'all know that ain't so. I almost never preach on money. Yet money is critically important. I don't know. Sometimes I think maybe I do you a disservice. Because I don't preach on money more than I do. But I'll be honest, it just always aggravated me that every time I went to somebody's church, they preached on money in Sunday school, they preached on money in church, they preached on money in training union, they preached on money in the evening service, they preached on money on Wednesday night. If they had a missionary in, they preached on money. If they were having a get-together, they preached on money. And I just got sick and tired of hearing it. Amen? I just figured if you give a tithe and offering, that's all the talk we need about money. But the coffers are down, so I'm obligated here. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Here's a secret to a blessed life. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, shaken down. Years ago, back when Jerry Falwell was still pastor at Liberty Church up in Virginia, he had a fella in who was a Nazarene to preach for him because Jerry Falwell was always in trouble with money. He was always begging. Now, every time you saw him, he was hitting you up for money because they spent more than they were taking in. But his ego wouldn't let him stop. And so he had this guy in because this guy had raised a lot of money for a lot of churches. Even though he was a Nazarene, and even though what he was preaching was nonsense, it was prosperity theology. But this guy had a message that he was preaching in all these churches called Living Giving. And on the front of the cover of the message, if you bought a copy of it, was an ear of corn. And the guy was talking about you plant a kernel of corn and you get an ear. Of course, in reality, you get three. But so he was saying, if you give this little bit, then God blesses it and it becomes this much. Well, even though there may be an element of truth in that as a practice of life, I wouldn't want to follow that kind of theology just to see how much money I could get. It doesn't work. See? Now, but God did promise that if we would tithe, He would bless us for it. He didn't promise to give you, if you give $10, that He'd give you $100 back. Matter of fact, He didn't promise to give you money at all. He promised to pour you out a blessing. So what kind of blessing? Well, maybe you could live 70 or 80 years and not have cancer. That'd be a blessing. Amen. Maybe you could live to be 80 or 90 and not have heart trouble. Maybe you could live to be 68 and be as pretty as me. They're all kind of blessings. Amen. Do you ever think about this? How come you live to be 50 or 60 and live in the same house for 50 years and it never caught on fire or burnt down? Why is that? The guy next door burnt down. The hurricane got this one. The tornado got that one. And you're sitting here fat, dumb, and happy. Wonder why that is. You reckon God blessed you? Looks like to me He did, whether you knew it or not. Amen. Your kids grow up and they prosper. And they do well financially, and you reckon that's a blessing from God? Yeah. So people say, well, I gave $20 and God didn't give me a dime. No, but that heart attack you was fixing to have, He turned that switch off. Amen. You can't outgive God. But when you rob God, there's a penalty for that. Now, if you want the abundance of life, we're not talking about the necessity. We talked about that in the last point, Matthew 6. Those were the needs, food and water and raiment. This is the abundant life. This is above and beyond. I don't know about you, but I'm an above and beyond kind of guy. Now, I would thank God if I had enough food and a warm house and clothes. I would be blessed. But if I got enough left over to buy a new gun every now and then or go on a vacation every now and then, that's above and beyond. God's really been good. Amen. And Malachi 3 said if you would tithe and give to God that God's house didn't go lacking, He'd make sure yours didn't go lacking. I read a story one time about a preacher. And he preached on tithing, but he didn't tithe. And he was talking to a wealthy man one day at a meeting they had. And the fella asked him, he said, do you believe in tithing? He said, well, you know I do. He said, I preach that people ought to tithe. He said, but I must confess, I don't. He said, I don't make a lot of money. I'm a itinerant preacher. And we have six young'uns, and it's all we can do to make ends meet. He said, so while I believe in it, I really never have practiced tithing. And the guy said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, if you'll start tithing, and not miss, but you'll tithe every time you get paid, if you come up short, you don't have enough, you let me know, and I will make up the difference. I will pay it for you. If God doesn't supply it, you let me know, and I'll take care of it. And the guy said, okay. That sounded like a good deal to him. And so from that day forward, he started tithing. 6 or 7 years went by. He never had to call the guy one time. And finally, he bumped into him at another meeting. And the guy said, "I never did hear from you." And the preacher hung his head. And he said, "My friend," he said, "that we made that deal." He said, "I began to tithe." And said, "I have never missed a meal. I've never missed a payment. God has always supplied, and I never found it necessary to call you." He said, "But I did learn one thing." He said, "I've had to pray and apologize to God many times because I was willing to trust you more than I was willing to trust God." Amen? See, it's not so much what we say we believe, it's what we demonstrate that we believe. And God has promised that if you would tithe, He'd bless it. Amen? You have to take God at His word and put it into action. Number 5. The secret to a tested life. I'm sorry. The secret to the good things of life. Now wait a minute, we got the needs and the abundance. Now here's a secret where you can get the good stuff. I like good stuff. Amen. Round steak is okay. Better no steak at all. But I must confess I really do like New York strips. Amen. You can eat chop steak, but a nice porterhouse really is good. Amen. We can get by. I mean, there's plenty that God gives us that's more than we need, that more than meets our requirements, that proves God's generosity and God's faithfulness. But God's got some really good stuff out there that He's promised to give us if, here's the secret, Psalm 84:11. "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. I will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." So here's a promise to people who live right. You don't just, not just save, but you live for God. You've got some character and some integrity. You've got some morals. You walk uprightly. You're honest. Your dealings are above board. People can count on you. Your word is your bond. To them that walk uprightly, God has promised that He will withhold no good thing. I thought, Lord, what's good thing? What is it that the Lord's promising not to withhold? He's already given me all the needs for my life. And then He's blessed me and given me abundantly above and beyond. What are the good things? And I thought, you know, Bob, God has been good and given you good things. When I lay down at night, I'm asleep in 30 seconds or less. And I sleep like a baby. Amen? When my phone rings, I don't jump or worry. See why? Because I have peace of mind. Because living right removes the fear of things. I'm not worried about being found out or caught up with. See, what is it? That's a blessing from God. That's peace of mind. That's tranquility. I've got a blessing that's not just good, it's phenomenal. See what? I'm happy. I'm happy in the Lord anyway. I'm happy. I'm content with my wife. I'm content with my children. This is awful. I'm content with me. I mean, God's been so good, we got it made. Who in the world would ever thought a fella whose daddy knocked dents out of a car and who never finished high school would be saved, sealed, sanctified on his way to glory and live in America and have the prettiest, sweetest wife he's ever seen in his life? Who in the world would ever thought that? God's been good. I got nothing not to be happy about. I cut up and joke all the time. I keep my wife in stitches. You ask her. Now, y'all may not think so. Y'all think I'm mean. But she thinks I'm the funniest guy on the planet. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I'm a happy camper. Because God has been good. Above and beyond. Abundantly more than I ever thought to hope or ask. The good things of life. Health. I'm 68 years old. I know I don't look it. Some of y'all look startled. We don't allow audience participation, buddy. I'm healthy as a horse. Well, now I just found out I got sugar diabetes and high blood pressure and cholesterol. But they're all just minimal. None of them are severe. None of them require much of anything. The sugar thing, I get one 500 milligram pill a day. But every morning when I check my blood sugar, it's in the 90s to 101, 102. And I don't do anything special. You know? So it's to be 68 and have sugar, I'm about as well off as you can be and still have something. Amen. I can play 27 holes of golf. I still beat the wife. Kick the cat. Life is good. Amen. It's amazing to be this old and be this healthy. That's a blessing from God. Believe me, I abused myself for so many years. I don't deserve to be as healthy as I am. I mean, considering how we live for the first 27 years, to be in this good a shape at this point in life is just nothing short of miraculous. Some of y'all ought to say amen to that. God has promised the good things, peace, love, contentment, health, happiness. The secret to a lighter load in life. Now, I love this one. Wouldn't you like to lighten your load? Well, here you go. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The New Testament said, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. I got a burden bearer. I got a load sharer. Amen. Now, I remember some years ago, there was a country song that said, the secret to surviving is dividing the burden by two. Talking about a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. Life is a lot easier to get through if you've got a good helpmate to give you a hand. Amen. Somebody you can lean on, somebody you can count on. God has promised that when we love Him and serve Him and put Him first, that He will bear or help us to bear our burdens. Now, that doesn't mean God takes all your burdens away from you. But it does mean that when they get to where you can't carry them, if you can carry 100 pounds and the burden gets to be 102, 103, and you're starting to sink, God lifts up 3 pounds. Amen. Man is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. God's not going to promise you no problems. But He does promise to make sure the burden doesn't get so heavy that it destroys you. Amen. And so I don't care what comes in your life, when the burden starts to weigh you down, if you're living right, you can cast those burdens on Him, and when it gets to where you can't make it anymore, God takes the part you can't handle. Buddy, I'm telling you, If you've been a mom and a daddy, if you've had a husband or a wife, if you've lived very long, you've had those moments, and you probably will have again, when the burden seems more than you can bear. And remember, when you get on your face and you say, "Lord, I can't take anymore. I've just done all I can do. I can't handle it." And somehow the burden doesn't seem to go away, but it seems to get lighter. That's because God honored His Word. And those that seek Him first and put Him first and live righteously and walk uprightly, when the burdens come, God helps us to bear those burdens. Here's the secret to a light on the road ahead. People say, "Boy, I'd like to know what's going to happen tomorrow." Now, I'm not sure I do, you know. People say they want to go to a fortune teller and see what's down the road. Now, you know fortune tellers are phony. How do you know they're phony? Because they never say anything bad. Because the only way to get you back is to tell you good stuff. If they told you what was really going to happen and what you were really going through, you'd probably go commit suicide. Amen. I don't want to know the details of tomorrow until tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. One day at a time, pal, and I'm not recovering from nothing. Yet, there are some things it would be nice to know. Not so I can know what's going to happen to me in particular, but it would be nice to have some light ahead just to keep you from running off the road, running into a ditch, falling into a hole, being caught in a trap or a snare. See? When you go hunting at night, these coon hunters, they put that big old light on their head and that battery pack around there to go coon hunting. Now, what that's for, nobody really wants a coon. Coon hunting's all about drinking. That's what it's about. Now, there might be an exception to that somewhere along the line, but most of them, what it's all about is a bunch of guys getting together and getting drunk. That's what everyone I ever knew anyway. But they spend a lot of money to do that. But they put those lights on their head, not because it's going to reveal everything that's coming down the road, but it does give them a little light so that they can navigate. So that they can travel or move without snaring themselves or impaling themselves or falling over a cliff. Wouldn't you like to have a little light on the road ahead? Well, the Bible said in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Wonder what's going to take place in this old world? Want a little light on the road ahead? Not all the gory details and not every instance and not what's going to happen to particular individuals, but enough light on the path so that you can prepare for the major events coming down the road. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. It tells us the course of this present age. It gives you enough light to help you miss, to walk around, to avert some of the pitfalls and some of the tragedies that are coming. Hard times are coming. They're coming. But you don't have to be taken unawares. You don't have to be caught up as those that are ignorant and unlearned. Because God has said, "Here's a light. And I'm going to shine it down this road, and it may be shadowy on the sides, but here's the path. This is the general direction things are going. Get prepared." Amen? I don't know about you, but a little light on the path ahead helps you, and it helps you not to make certain mistakes and certain errors. Any of y'all ever buy stocks or bonds or whatever it is? Ever mess with the market? Now, I'm no market guru. That's Tommy Stewart. But I do know this, that if you ever get ready to buy something, you don't just go buy it. You do research on it first. You look and see how they've been doing for the last 36 months. You look to see where they're at now. I would look to see if there's been any change in leadership. Do they have the same people running it? Are they following the same strategy that got them to where they're at? I'd look to see what kind of new acquisitions they're looking at, how stable they are. There's a whole host of things I'd want some information about. I'd want all the light on that company that I could get so I could make an intelligent, informed decision about where to put my money. Now, when you do that, what you decide to do is keep your money in your pocket. But we all need a little light on certain... The book of Revelation gives us light about what's to come. The sequence of events. The horrors, the tragedies, the blessings, the open door. God gave us a little light so we can see things that are coming that the rest of the world simply doesn't see. You talk to any liberal newscaster, prognosticator, money guru, whatever, they are always predicting a rosy future. Well, it may be hard times now, but America's always bounced back, and if you just keep on keeping on and just keep the faith and keep on believing, it's going to get better. They cannot forecast gloom and doom. Yet gloom and doom is coming. The only place you can get the truth and see the gloom and doom, you got to read that book. So now here are seven things. Nothing profound. Nothing rocket science. There's nothing in this morning's message that not everybody in this room could practice. There's nothing here too complicated for anybody. There's nothing here too demanding for anybody. These are seven simple secrets that will get you a blessed life if you will just read them and heed them. They're promises from God. I want you to notice something. We started in Joshua 1:8, reading the book. We ended in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, reading the book. Just pretend the Bible is like one of those little... newspaper things, what'd you call it? The National Enquirer. Hanging on a rack in the grocery store. And you see the headline. Seven simple secrets to a blessed life. Buy you a copy. Take it home. Don't let anybody know. I mean, you gotta maintain your reputation. Nobody wants anybody to know they read National Enquirer. You know, they grab it off the rack and fold it in half and stick it in the bag. But then they go home and sit down and devour it. Make your Bible the National Enquirer. Sneak home and do something you don't normally do. Don't leave it in the car this week. Take it in the house. Get in the bathroom, lock the door. Put a towel across the bottom. Open the covers. And read it. Meditate therein. And what you find, put into practice. And watch God produce for you over the years a blessed life. You don't have to have a college education. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be any particular race. You don't have to be any particular gender. You don't have to have an IQ. You just got to read it. And do it. All it requires is that you live right, that you trust God, that you believe the book, that you tithe your money, and God will pour out the blessing. And as the years go by, and you look like you've lived a charmed life, don't you ever get scared? I get scared. I'm serious, a heart attack. My wife and I were talking about it just a couple of days ago. Our life has been so good for so long. It's been one blessing after another. You're going to say, well, preacher, you've had this problem, you've had that. But yeah, but God got us through every one of them. Every last one of them. We're still intact. We're still happy. We're still healthy. For over 40 years now, I've been trying to live for God. And when you look at it day by day, you say, well, you got this problem, you got that problem. Yes, but if I get on the hillside and look back across my life, it's a fairy tale. God moved here, and God moved there, and God got us through that, and God picked us up and got us on the other side of that. And I look back there, and here we are in the later years, of the golden years, I guess they call them. That's debatable. That's what they call them. But we're still married, and we're still in love. And we're so happy, and my kids are doing good, and I still get to preach, and we got church members we love, and we live in America, and we have enough to eat, and enough. Could anybody deny, if you looked at where we started and where we're at, that we haven't had a blessed life? The last 38 years, 40 years, serving God, has produced a blessed life. And it works for us, it'll work for you, it'll work for anybody. 7 simple secrets. But they're all found in that one little book that nobody reads. The whole message this morning, I told my wife, she asked me what I was preaching, I told her I'm preaching on the Bible. I said, but I'm taking a backdoor approach. I wanted to illustrate what's in it and the blessings that are found therein. But the whole intent of the message is to get you to read that book. Not hold it, not carry it, not defend it, not believe it. Read it. Paul told Timothy, he said, until I come, give attendance unto reading. Ladies and gentlemen, you got the greatest marvel in the world in your lap. Read it. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. I pray, oh God, that you would help us to read this book, to believe this book, to trust in the God of this book. We would thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name.